Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I'm here with Illini guy Brad Sturdy. Also here with Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince, and Illini guy's staff writer, Matt Stevens. We got to see a very interesting game tonight, folks. If you had the opportunity to watch it, it was a 73-44 victory for the Illini over Syracuse. Syracuse played, you know, their brand of defense, which overall held the Illini to 35.8% shooting, held them to 28% from the 3-point line. I don't think it was connected to it, but the Illini shot 63.6 from the free throw line. Don't think the defense did that. But it was a game that Syracuse defense made it tougher on the Illini. But then you take a look at what Illinois did defensively to this Syracuse team, holding them to 27.8% shooting. They shot a little better from the three-point line at 29.4. And then, incidentally, they didn't do very well from the free throw line at 52.9. You know, Illinois' defense was staggering. And in the second half, they held Virginia to 23.3% shooting. Hey, Ked, tell us, how much fun is it to play against a very disciplined, hard-nosed defensive team like the Illini are doing right now, and what fits they give their opponents?
Well, I'll tell you, looking at this game, you know that emoji that's on our phones with the little guy with the green throw-up, that's what that was like tonight. That was just ugly basketball. I just, you know, you and I were talking on the air, you know, before these two got on. You know, Syracuse makes you do that. It's just ugly basketball. I wasn't really a fan of it. When I saw that's who they drew in the matchup, I got sick to my stomach because I just it's not good basketball. But it works. It's effective, and it's worked for 47, 48 years. I will give Illinois credit, though. They hung with it. I went into the game thinking, what would I do if I was Brad Underwood? And what Brad usually does, which is I give him credit, you know, when teams play zone against Illinois, he always puts a guard at the high post. This time he put Coleman Hawkins up there, and I was really surprised that he did it. It was smart that he did it because he's obviously taller, and I'm assuming he did that because Syracuse has some length. But it was a good move on his part. Ugly, ugly game, and I don't want to give Illinois a lot of credit for defense because this is a really bad Syracuse team. This team's not very, very good. It looks good. But this team's not very, very good, and, you know, it's one of his worst teams. But at the end of the day, it's a, you know, Power 5 school, and it's a team that they needed to win, and they won by 29 points. So, but very, very ugly game to me. But, again, it's a win. And a lot of good things. Underwood got his 100th win, and Coleman Hawkins had a triple-double. RJ Melendez came out of the shell, so he looks really good. So things are starting to click for him.
Yeah, they are. Brad, you were there. Front row. Folks, if you want to check the Mike Kegley Twitter feed, you can see Brad and Matt right behind the scorer's table. I did a good old-fashioned freeze on the TV, took a shot of it so you could see our intrepid reporters braving a very rough game here. Brad, what were your initial thoughts after you were up close and personal watching this Illinois team defensively play such a good game and also, you know, dealing with a decent defense that caused them some shooting woes on Syracuse's part?
Well, I mean, you know, nobody got slapped, so it was a good day. you know, we're close to the court. You never know that could happen with Syracuse game, right? Yep. I thought the biggest thing was I thought Illinois played great defense, and they played defense even though the shots weren't going in, which is sometimes hard to do for teams. And that's what a veteran team does. A team that's going to win in the Big Ten later on, that's what they do. They still guard when things are tough. And I will say this: I know Syracuse isn't a very good team. I'm not saying they are, But if you look at their statistics, their problem has been on the defensive end, and they have been a pretty good team at scoring the basketball. And they couldn't score tonight. I mean, it was hard for them to get a clean look for most of the second half. In fact, if Illinois didn't have a defensive breakdown, they almost didn't get clean looks at all during the game. So I think that's a positive. I think that shows there's still a few scouting errors and things. Didn't get back on defense a couple times. And, you know, there's little things that they can tweak and that Brad will work on, I'm sure. But offensively, I thought Illinois ran their offense exactly how they wanted to. They went inside. I mean, in our preview, what I talked about was going inside out. And that's what they did. They went inside, then went out. They used backdoor cuts. They used, sliding behind the defense. They threw a lob. They had, there were a few attacking gaps a couple of times. I mean, it was basically exactly what you have to do against the 2-3 zone. And, you know, Syracuse gives up 44% of their points from behind the arc. So it's not surprising Illinois is going to take a lot of threes. They just missed them. I mean, some days you don't shoot the ball well, and it seems that for Illinois, it seems to always come at home. But they didn't shoot the ball well, and yet they still ended up scoring about 1.083 points per possession. Not great, not terrible. It's good enough to win when you play defense.
Yeah, well, and it, you know, it was, you know, when you have a game that was that challenging, when you go down and shut down somebody at the other end of the court, it's like you can take your frustration out a little bit. Matt, you were there as well. What were your thoughts as you watched this? At times, it was painful offensively. It was the movable object versus the resistible force.
This is another instance where Kendrick Prince and I just don't see the world the same way. Because I thought it was beautiful.
Imagine that.
I don't know, like, if I just really like Jackson Pollock paintings or what, but like, I thought it was beautiful. And the idea that I thought this Illinois team needed this. And what I mean by this is this is what it's supposed to look like when you don't shoot it very well. And you're not getting the ball to go through the hoop offensively. That's what it's supposed to look like on the other end of the floor. And I mean, Mintz is going to be a really, really good player. And I didn't see him penetrate at all the way that he has to, if the Syracuse is going to be offensively a team that can win basketball games. You know, on non-dunks, I believe he was one of 14 from the field tonight. And that's a credit to Illinois guards. That's a credit to Sky Clark deciding I'm 0 for 10 from the field, but I can still affect this basketball game. I don't have a problem with the way Illinois played offense tonight either. I think that Sturdy and I were sitting there watching it going, I mean, I kind of agree with Brad Underwood. Like, a lot of those looks were good looks. They just didn't fall. And nothing, I mean, honest to God, I don't know what you can do about that other than, again, I agree with Brad Underwood. Go down the other end of the floor and play defense and win that possession. That's what it's supposed to look like. And I think they need to – this team, which is a relatively new team, we've been saying it all year, needed to figure out a way how to win a game on that end of the floor and not worry about what if the ball was going through the hoop on the other end of the floor. And I thought they did an excellent job against a team that – I don't think Syracuse is great, don't get me wrong, but they are fundamentally sound most of the time because their head coach demands it. And so I thought in the second half, Illinois' defense was fantastic. I think that they – I mean, Syracuse had more turnovers and field goals in the second half. I mean, that's unbelievable defense. And it's being active with your hands and it's having length that Syracuse just couldn't handle tonight. So I was really, really happy with what I saw out of Illinois. And I wasn't shocked at the idea that this ended up being 30 points because I just thought Illinois was that much better on both ends of the floor than Syracuse was. And I think it would have, like, Sturdy and I sat there and said, God, this could have been 40 or 50 points if some shots would have fallen, you know, and most of them I thought were good looks. I didn't have an issue with a lot of them. I thought in the first half they took some quick ones and Brad got mad. And then the rest of the night, it was just, they just didn't shoot it very well. Eh. And they still scored 70 plus points. So I think it was overall a pretty good night and a beautiful night.
Yeah, it was interesting because in the second half, you referred to it there, the Illini defense forced 11 turnovers and only allowed 7 field goals.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's impressive. And when you were watching it at home, it was funny because even when the Illini were in the midst of like an 0-for-10 shooting slump, you never felt like there was any risk of Illinois falling behind. So Brad, Coach Boeheim made his little speech about the Big Ten sucking. Do you think he was thinking about this game at all, or was it just like free form? I mean, that just seems like a really, really bad choice when you're playing a team that is as stacked as Illinois, and obviously there's a lot of other good teams in the Big Ten as well. Did Orange Crush try to make their presence felt to Coach Boeheim tonight?
Yeah, a little bit. Here's what I'll say. I think he's 70-plus years old. He doesn't have a filter. He's like a typical old man. And he is also – and here's the other part about Boeheim. He's won a national title. He's made millions of dollars.
Yep.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't care. So, whatever. I thought the one thing I'll say, I think it was a dumb comment because – I think it was a dumb comment because of the way he said it. If you're trying to defend your conference, that's one thing. But if you're just, there's different ways. Brad Underwood often say the Big Ten's the best league in the country. Well, that's not just dismissing another conference, but it's definitely, it's promoting your own. And I think that's where Boeheim failed. But, Boeheim's known he's a whiner. I mean, kind of whiner. I mean, tonight after the game, he threw one of his players completely under the bus. And not even the one who got the 2 technicals. He said that was disappointing and childish, but which it was. I actually got a guy on Twitter telling me that the guy shouldn't have given him a technicals. And I was like, I mean, you can't scream and cuss the official.
When you hear the announcers trying to make excuses when you watch it at home, it was fairly entertaining.
Oh, terrible. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm sitting right there. I was standing – Terry Weimer was literally 10 feet from me, and I saw the same thing he did. And I'm telling you, had no choice but to call that technical foul.
100% concur, Sturdy.
I'm not arguing with you guys. I'm just saying – no choice
but to call the second one because the kid walked at him because with his foot foul, as he walked at him, he screamed F-bombs at him again. You just can't do that. I mean, you have to control yourself. So, but anyway, now Boeheim's a little bit of a whiner, and it's just his nature. I mean, he's been a successful coach. I think he's a really good coach. Don't get me wrong, but that's just his personality. He's kind of that guy, and that's okay. Everybody has a different personality, and that's what he does. And it's worked for him for almost 40 years, right?
Right, right. Well, no, it has, and Brad, one other thing, I guess we really shouldn't go any further in the show. Coleman Hawkins pulls off the fourth triple-double in the history of the Illini program. Any thoughts as you were sitting there watching it? Did it creep up on you while you were there at the stadium, or were you waiting for it?
Nah, we were following it sideline, courtside. I think I tweeted a few things. When he had 11-7 or something, 11-8-6 at one point. It was like, hey, we could have – Matt and I were talking about it. We're following. I think it just shows his versatility, kind of player he is. He's a fantastic passer, as we know. He shot the ball. People were wanting him to shoot more. He took 11 shots.
Yeah.
I mean, could he have taken, like Brad Underwood said after the game, could he have taken 30? Yeah. But it doesn't get other players involved. It's not maybe the best offense, you're going to run. I mean, Michael Jordan, if he'd have been at the free throw lane in that game, he'd have scored 45, 50 points. But, Coleman Hawkins is different. He's more like like he said in the post games, more going to facilitate like a Draymond Green type guy, where he's not going to look to score as much. But he's still got 15, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. I think the rebounds are the key for me because that shows that he's going after the glass. That's something – that they really need him to do. He needs to rebound well for this team to be successful.
Brad talked about the rebounding. I thought it was really interesting when we saw at the end of the game, Illinois – or not the end, but towards the end of the game, Illinois is up by 18. Matt Meyer hits the ground for a rebound, and then Sky Clark goes and hits the ground, and it ends up staying Illinois ball. What were you thinking about the intensity of the team as a guy who coaches that frenetic pace when you're coaching?
I think it's great. I think what Brad mentioned was huge. I mean, the last part of his statement with Coleman Hawkins. I think a guy who I really, really – I like more and more I see every game, and you mentioned his name, was Sky Clark. He didn't shoot – the ball didn't go in the basket. I'll put it that way. I agree. It was an ugly game because shots didn't go in, but they were really good looks. I mean, what do people think? When teams play zone, that's what's going to happen. You're going to shoot the basketball. It's just unfortunate that they miss shots, but I like the fact that they crash the boards. They all do. If you notice, all Brad Underwood's teams, he forces his guards to do that. Two of the five triple-doubles that's in Illinois history, two of them came from Iowa, which is coached by Brad Underwood. I mean, he really talks and preaches rebounding because it's a part of the game, and Brad's very analytical as far as, rebounding and certain percentages and whether shots come off the basket and what teams do and how many teams win games if you shoot 75% from the free throw line. I just like how smart he is as far as breaking down that part of a game. But in order for them to be very successful, they all have to rebound. They really and truly do. I mean, Coleman Hawkins was great, but he's going to go up against some really big guys tonight. And another guy who gets in tonight, well, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I was keeping him during the game. I think Matthew Meyer may have had 7 or 8 rebounds as well. And Terrence Shannon is really aggressive as far as going to get rebounds. So those are little things that when the ball doesn't go in, that's what's going to win basketball games for you. And I like the fact that they've taken on that mental toughness. And, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm really curious to see how they play Friday. They don't typically do well in Maryland. And this is a new team. And Maryland and Purdue are probably two of the biggest surprises in all college basketball. So I'm going to see what that toughness is going to bring on the road Friday, because there's going to be 16,000 fans cheering against Illinois, not for them this time.
Yeah, and I do think I found a little less surprise in Maryland than I did in Purdue, to be honest with you. Maybe that's just shows you being foolish for not giving Matt Painter the benefit of the doubt. Matt, any other thoughts on the rebounding or the defense that we saw out there tonight from Illinois?
Yeah, I think Underwood has Underwood has talked about his wings have to rebound. And it was one of the things that he really liked what he saw out of RJ, especially in that second half, was there were offensive rebounds that RJ had to go get, and he got them. And it was he was an energy guy that gets two fouls, only plays 5 minutes in the first half because of that foul trouble, doesn't turtle up, and then is able to impact the game on so many different ways because he's going to the glass and just trying to create energy that way. And that's a way that RJ can – turn the tide a little bit. He talks about body language all the time. His body language was great in the second half, and I worried about it coming out of that first half, and it was great. And that was another thing I thought that was just, you know, beautiful tonight, was that RJ didn't allow a first half that just, he doesn't get into rhythm. He doesn't allow it to affect the second half. He doesn't allow it to beat him twice. And that's a maturation process for him. I thought, I'm looking at the box score now, but like, again, another night where, you know, Ty Rodgers only has 4 points, but I thought like when he was on the court in that high post, when Coleman wasn't on the court, it was almost as acceptable. They were still getting good looks with Ty at that spot. And they were getting at least a couple of those floaters from Ty, you know, on that high post when they were trying to get through that zone. So, defensively, it was gorgeous because, you know, again, Sky Clark's 0 for 10 and he's affecting the game. And Matthew Meyer, I think he had 5 and 8 and he's affecting the game. And his head coach knows when he gets on the floor like that, that's what I brought in to, you know, that's the player I brought in to put this thing all together. So I was really happy with what I saw. And I think, to echo what Brad said about Boeheim, believe it or not, guys, I thought Boeheim was in a really good mood tonight. He laughed and joked with Brad before the game, and he has a way of talking to his guys that just aren't in a way that I like. He just kind of has a conversation with him the whole night and goes, you know, this is a journey. Like, we're gonna get better. There's 30 more of these. We're gonna get better. Yeah, he bust tossed Joe Girardi tonight, like Joe Girardi tonight, like real bad, because he can't shoot it just three times. But that's the Illinois defense just suffocating the life out of you and saying and forgetting what your responsibility is supposed to be if you're that kid. And that's part of it too. So I thought, yeah, the rebounding was good by the wings, which had to happen. And I thought the defense was spectacular.
Yeah, close out. You know, I mean, you feel sorry for Girardi. He's all ready to go, you know, thinks he's got an open shot, and Coleman Hawkins kind of closes out on him. He's like, well, there's no open shot there, you know, and makes it tough. Brad, offensively, you know, you've coached a ton of games before. I'm watching Sky Clark's shot, and it looks good. He's hitting the back of the iron or the front of the iron, so he's on a line. What do you do as a coach to keep a guy, you know, confident? Because it's clear he's just a hair's breadth away from really going on a tear here.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about Sky, and what people don't understand is, but Sky Clark is going to be in there, and he's going to put up shots in the morning. He's going to go put up shots because that's what he does. When they have an off day, he's going to go put up shots because that's how he gets better, and he understands it. What I love about a lot of people think that, oh, man, he's 0 for 10. He should stop shooting. You know what I love about it is he kept shooting even though he was 0 for 10. 0 for 7 from 3, but he kept shooting. And people say, well, why do you love that? Well, because it shows that he didn't lack confidence. When you're not shooting the ball, it means you don't have confidence. You can't play college basketball at this level if you don't have confidence in yourself. And Sky showed that he has confidence in what he can do. And, you know, the thing is, and I don't know what people expect from freshman guards, but or freshmen in general. But if you aren't excited about what you've seen from Sky Clark, Jaden Epps, and yes, he's been not as good as maybe people expected, Ty Rogers, and even Sincere Harris in the action so far, I don't know what you're watching, because they have been fantastic. Yes, Epps is going to make defensive scouting errors because he has habits that he's developed over the years. He made another one tonight, and he went home with one less butt cheek. And so that happens. Sky Clark is going to – he's going to have games where he misses shots, but these guys are doing all the little things too. I mean, Epps can still score. Clark is making great passes. He's running the team. He keeps everybody under control. And this guy is locking people up. He had Judah Mintz most of the night tonight. And he's the reason that – one of the main reasons why he shot 3 for 16. I mean, he just locked him up multiple times, forced turnovers. I don't know what you want from this guy. And so despite the fact he was 0 for 7 from 3, he's still shooting 36% from 3 on the year. If the guy shoots 36% from 3 on the year, then I'm going to take that and run with it all year. If he shoots 36%, he's shooting he was 2 out of 4 from the line. Okay, he's shooting like 80% from the line too. So this is not – it's not a – you're going to have days when you miss shots. It just happens. You got to keep playing basketball, and that's why I'm so excited about what he's done. And I'm going to tell you, he's been better at playing basketball than I expected. Like, I expected the highlight things and the ball handling and things like that. But I'm telling you, he has been just – he has been so good at running this team that it's really – that's the surprise for me. He's so mature.
Yeah, he looks a lot older out there than a freshman. And I think the other thing that he does so well – I don't think he's – I'm trying to think. It's been a while since he's shot what I would call a fourth shot. They were all within the motion of the offense. They weren't like, I need my points. He was open. It's hard to complain. And I know people who haven't coached – may struggle with that because they just look at the result. But sometimes, like you said, Brad, they don't go in all the time.
Yep. What do they say? Trust the process.
Yeah.
He also had no turnovers in 30 minutes. Like, Brad and I were talking last year, they had a point guard who had 10 turnovers in an exhibition game and got a triple-double that way.
Triple-double.
Yeah. And it's much more pleasant to watch a point guard now at Illinois to have no turnovers in 30 minutes. I don't care if he shoots 0 for 10. If he's not turning it over and creating, you know,
layups at the other end.
Yeah, no kidding. Like
the other one shot 0 for 10 too. So
yeah.
And you know what? I mean, people have short memory. I mean, look how well he shot it Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, against Lindenwood. I mean, and to answer, you know, to go with what Brad said, and I agree. I mean, if there was any part of this podcast that I'm 105,000% in agreement with is what Brad's last take was. His shots were not bad shots. They were close. They just didn't go in. I mean, and if you're not going to shoot it, you can't be on the court because you do harm to your team, which we've talked about before with certain players. I'm not going to mention their names. He's going to be fine. And he loves, I mean, just one comment, he looks like he's been playing college basketball for 3 years. He just looks confident. I think Illinois is very, very lucky that they got him because he was a late steal that, you know, obviously committed to Kentucky. He's going to be okay. And I just think, you know, tonight was a night where, think about it, it wasn't just him. A lot of shots didn't fall. I mean, look how good, I don't want to say good, I guess, but how Terrence Shannon started off. He was 0-for-3. RJ didn't start off very well. So he's going to be fine. I like his game, and I like all the freshmen. And I think Ty Rogers is going to be fine. He fouls too much. And tonight he didn't do that because, you know, for whatever reason, I know they're working with him on it. But he does things that people don't realize. I mean, like I know Matt mentioned him playing at the high post. He was just as effective as Coleman was. I mean, he didn't look to shoot as much, but and that's a good spot for him. So it's a very good class. I mean, I think it's a gym class that they've gotten, and there's some talent. I hope Sincere is going to be okay because I think they're going to need a guy like him Friday night.
Brad, did you hear anything on Sincere?
Yeah, he should be fine. Minor injury, they said. They expect him to be ready to go on Friday when they play Maryland.
Well, you know what? I just heard from Sincere. He basically just tweeted to tell everybody that he's all good. Thanks for checking up on him. Much love. So that's good to hear. I got to be honest with you. His crazy defense and the things that he causes are so entertaining to watch. It's kind of like watching Luther Head, but with a little more defense and maybe a little less shooting. But it's a lot of fun to watch him. So we did miss him in the second half. So that's excellent to hear. So as we look, Maryland, you know, it's kind of a three-headed monster here. And they beat, after a slow start, they ended up beating Louisville by 25. Dante Scott, you know, 18.
How bad is Louisville, by the way? If you think Syracuse is bad, go watch Louisville.
Yeah. Well, you know, they Jameer Young, you know, he ended up having 15. And really, kind of surprisingly, is Julian Reese didn't really play very well tonight. He only had 6 points. You'd have thought maybe Louisville had a shot holding one of the three of them down a little bit, but no, they didn't. And Brad, what can Illinois expect visiting Maryland, which has not been very Illini friendly? This is going to be a great test for this team, don't you think?
Yeah, there's no question. But here's the thing. This isn't the same Illinois team.
Yep.
In the past, Maryland has taken advantage of Illinois' lack of length, their lack of athleticism. They're playing a 6'3 power forward. They're playing – and they're able to exploit those things. And now Illinois is the more athletic team. You know, they're able to post up a Dante Scott and use him for as a post player. Well, who is he going to post up Terrence Shannon? I mean, how's that going to work out? I mean, I just don't see that being effective. So I think Illinois has a much better matchup than they've had in the past. Now, Maryland is good, though. I do think Maryland's going to be a tough game on the road. Illinois is going to have to certainly shoot a lot better than they shot it tonight, but it'll be a different. They'll be able to get downhill against the man-to-man defense. They'll be able to get different actions to be successful. And then I think that, but if Illinois guards, if the defense travels, they're going to have a chance to win on the road against Maryland. And that's the big key.
Kedrick, how do you feel about the upcoming game here? Cause this is quite a stretch that Illinois is about to embark on. What are your thoughts about that upcoming Maryland game?
Well, it's going to be tough. Like I said, and you guys just mentioned as well, it's a tough place where Illinois hasn't done well at, but they are a different team. You know, one of the things I remember talking to Coach Underwood 3 or 4 years ago, he talked about holding teams to 42% shooting the ball on the road. That's how good teams win. And when they won the Big Ten tournament a couple years ago, I mean, he mentioned that again. I mean, you have to be able to defend, and it is a different team. And I remember when Damonte Williams, who's undersized, trying to guard guys at 6'6", 6'7", that's going to be different because even RJ Melendez is longer. I mean, and he's much more athletic. And I think the key to the game to me is if they play man and only put pressure on them and then they attack the basket, I think they'll be fine. But it's going to be tough. But they've been battle-tested. I mean, you look at who they played. It was a neutral court, but they played two of the top 15 at the time, top 10 teams in the country. So I'm not worried about them because they're going to lose games. It's going to happen. I think it's good for them. But if they go out to Maryland and they win Maryland, I think it's going to be another big test for them because, you know, a lot of people at one time, a week ago, thought Illinois was the best team in the conference, and then Purdue just came out of nowhere, you know, and now they're the best team. Now Illinois slipped back to third. So going to Maryland and winning a game like that is huge. It will be huge for the program, but also it's momentum because then you're going to have Texas. So this schedule is going to be tough, but they're battle-tested. I know Illinois will be prepared. They do an extremely good job of scouting, and I can assure you, that they'll watch the game tonight, even though Louisville's really bad, and that's probably not a good game to judge. But
yeah.
I'm glad because this is a different team. It's not the same team, and they were limited what they could do, even with Kofi being there. I mean, I think that was different than the way Coleman can move. He's not the best defensive player, but I think he's good at it because he's mobile and he can move.
And Matt, any thoughts on the upcoming clash in Maryland?
I wonder what style will be best for Illinois. I say that because Maryland's won a couple of games against really good teams. I think St. Louis is good, and they put up 90-plus on St. Louis in a win. I think Miami has the potential to be good, put up over 90 on them, you know, in a neutral site tournament. And I think Illinois has kind of sent a message to certain teams, hey, don't run with us. It's not going to work out well for you. And I wonder on the road what kind of style both teams are going to want to play in order to win that game. And I think I don't know if on the road, like what we saw in say the first half of that UCLA game, like Sturdy was talking about the helter skelter 13 turnover first half against UCLA. I don't know if that plays well for Illinois. And so I don't know if Illinois wants to go up and down on Maryland in their first true road test. I'm intrigued by that, but I do think player for player, I think Illinois can go there. And I 100,000% agree with Sturdy. If this team guards and they take care of that end of the floor, they can win any style of game offensively. If you want to play in the 60s, if Illinois defends, they can win with that. If you want to play in the 80s, if Illinois can get stops, they can play in the 80s too. With that press and how they can speed teams up a little bit, they can do that too. The defensive end is going to be so critical for this team, and I think it's a lot more fun to watch this team play defense just because of the length, the athleticism, and the ability they have to really guard people, one through four in a lineup potentially. The only thing I saw that was really kind of sketchy tonight for me, and I mentioned it to Sturdy, was I don't want to see the five freshmen lineup again. Like I know what that was out of Underwood because RJ's got two fouls and Coleman's got to have a break. And I get that. And I understand all that, but the five freshman lineup with Dane as the redshirt freshman, like that looked really, really rough. And I know why Brad does it in late November. I don't think you'll see that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you'll see that at Maryland. Because I think those are five really, really good players. I just don't know if that's, the glove. They don't really function as a glove right now. And I think that they have to look at that. But other than that, I think that they're on a roll right now. And I think that they have really, really good vibes going to Maryland. If they have a couple of good practices before they leave, I think they're going to be on a confidence high.
Yeah. So just to let you folks know, this week we will kind of do just a discussion on Thursday night. We'll release a podcast. We'll talk a little bit about the football regular season, knowing for the first time in a long time that the Illini are going to go to a bowl game. We're going to kind of you know, take a second and appreciate the regular season of 8-4 that got them there. And then of course, Friday night, we will do a podcast where we will actually, and it'll be a late one. So you might want to just, you know, you might get to that one Saturday, but we will also do a podcast post game and talk a little bit about what happened in Maryland. We get lucky, we might even get Illini guy Larry Smith on, who will actually be going to Maryland to watch the game. So we'll see if we can make that happen. And of course, IlliniGuys.com, that's what powers this. Basically, it's $99 a year. You get 7 days, kick the tires and rock and roll and enjoy it. You got to go back into the forums where you can talk and see all the stuff that Brad, Ked, and Matt have, rumors, the things that are going on, the sausage making behind the scenes that really can't go into newspapers and things like that. And the last thing is by Friday, I think we're having our Black Friday sale where not only do you get the $99 value for a year of fantastic content, but you also get an Illini Guys sweatshirt. So those only come out maybe once a year. So we've got a lot of our subscribers who love those. We'd encourage you to take a look. Go to IlliniGuys.com. It's right at the top of the front page there. Click on it. Make your decision if you want to subscribe and get a free sweatshirt. If you've been thinking about it, this might be the time to do it. Or here's what I would do. I would give somebody this as a gift, a friend of mine who's an Illini fan, and then I would keep the sweatshirt. So then you're giving them something and you're getting something back, which is I have what I call enlightened self-interest. So Brad, you know, I'm going to let you kind of start, you know, summarizing what's, you know, the final thoughts here as you're heading back after covering the game. What's your kind of some of your key takeaways that you're thinking of now that our fans should be, you know, kind of aware?
Well, I look at the defense travels. I think defense is going to be the key for this team because they're going to have games when they shoot the ball well, and they're going to win those games. But if you can win when things don't go your way, you miss shots, and you know, weird things are happening. That's what really good teams do. As the season progresses, you're going to see this team get better and better too. I think people forget, like, before the year, you know, we talked about how this team was going to have growing pains because there's so many new guys, and you know, we really haven't seen that to a great degree. Now the next two games are going to be the test. Next three games, actually, because Penn State's solid as well. So there's three games in a row here in a week, three games in an 8-day period that are 9-day period, I guess it is, that are going to be, you know, put Illinois to the test, and I think we're gonna learn a lot about them over that 9-day period. And if somehow they come out of this 2-1 or 3-0, even, I mean, it's pretty exciting.
Excellent. Yeah. And you'll be in New York City for that matchup a week from two. Yeah. So you'll be there to see that. So we'll have a podcast. It'll be a late nighter for Brad, but we don't care. If he gets to go to New York City, we're going to keep him up all night to provide the best coverage for our subscribers.
Is that the city that never sleeps, or is that Las Vegas? I don't know.
New York City is the place where they make Pace salsa, I believe.
Oh, I don't know. But I don't know, but I just know I've been to Vegas and New York. I you know, so I'm trying to figure it out now.
Oh man, there's just I tell you what, there's like great pizza joint after great pizza joint. I love just walking down a city block. You get like three slices at three different places. Oh, that's a great town. Ked, any final thoughts for you as we close this out?
Well, I just think it's right now, if you're in the lineup, then it's a great time. The basketball team is 6-1. The football team is 8-4. The women's basketball team is winning for the first time in like 7,845 years. And it's just been – it's just a good time to be a fan. And it's a good time to subscribe to our site as well, because there's so many things going on, you know, with football. Matt's, you know, busted his butt doing that and, you know, and the recruiting thing. And then Brad with all his intel. So – it's just a good time right now for Illinois fans in general. I mean, you know, I know there's been years where we were, you know, struggling to find something positive to write about. So or to talk about. So it's just a good time right now, honestly. So big stress coming up from basketball. The women have a big game tomorrow at Pittsburgh. You know, hopefully they can turn around. I know Coach Shauna Green was very disappointed that they gave up over 80 points and that she has to get that corrected as well. So the good coaching staff and Illinois in a good place all around, I think.
Yep, that's good. That's good. Matt, any final thoughts from you?
I've never seen Brad Underwood more happy right now than the way his team is playing. And I think there's an ease to coach this team right now and an enjoyment in coaching this team right now. So I'll leave it with that. I think at 6-1 right now, they've looked the part. I think there's things down. This is a journey, like I've always said, but right now on November 29th, this is looking pretty good. And the fear that they've peaked isn't possible because they're too young and they're too inexperienced playing together, that, you know, that's probably not the case either. So there's a lot of excitement coming, you know, in December, January, February, and in March for this basketball team. And I think that there's going to be a lot of excitement coming down the pike. So I was really encouraged by what I saw tonight, and I think that there's potential for even higher ceilings for this Illini team going forward.
Yeah, and of course we probably should note, you know, Coach Underwood won his 100th game as an Illini coach. He joins Lou Henson, Harry Combs, Bruce Weber, Doug Mills, and J. Craig Ruby in the 100 win club. Ted was a huge J. Craig Ruby fan.
Yeah, are you talking Jack Ruby? Just kidding.
I'm not certain who that. We're gonna have to go into the history books to look for that one, Ked. But we did find one thing. If you go on to Twitter again, I forwarded out one from the U of I basketball team. Coach Underwood is a great basketball coach. He is not an agile basketball coach. When you see him try to evade the inevitable Gatorade bucket, it didn't go well. So we will see that, like I said, Coach Underwood brings a lot to the table. Quick feet and balance don't appear to be part of that package. So, you know, we want to thank Kedrick Prince for being on. Obviously, we want to thank Matt Stevens for being on. And, of course, Brad Sturdy. I'm Mike Kegley. And of course, we would tell you one last thing. Please go ahead and check out the Illini Guy Sports Spectacular. It's on the radio stations on Fridays or Saturdays. Check out, you know, where it's at IlliniGuys.com. Hit the radio button. You can see what cities broadcast it, what radio station, what day and time. Please listen to it and give a shout out to the station via phone call and say, hey, thanks for having it on, or send them an email, whatever you can do there. You know, we really appreciate that. Of course, we have Sturdy for 30 and Ked's Recruiting Roundup as well. Those podcasts are out there, so please do that. And of course, we have all sorts of stories that you'll get on a daily basis at IlliniGuys.com. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or halfway across this great planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Thank you very much, and go Illini.